Welcome to the Cheer Connection Podcast. I am your host, Coach John. Today is Friday, July 26, 2019. I hope everyone has had a great week. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please be with everyone as the summer comes to an end over the next 2 weeks. Keep everyone safe and help make lots of memories. In your name we pray. Amen. With July coming to an end and August around the corner, the summer push is almost done. Gyms should be about ready to ramp back up for when school starts. Make sure you're getting prepared. The last 2 weeks we've discussed choreography, so to keep with the theme, I had the honor to sit down and talk judging with Melissa Hayes. So sit back, relax. This one's going to be great. Hey, Melissa, how are you doing today?
Great. It's great speaking with you this morning.
Yeah, thanks for being on. So can you give us a little background of who you are?
Sure. My name is Melissa Hayes, and I have 20-plus years, I don't really want to admit how many years, it is a peer industry experience. I started off as a college coach, and I spent a majority of my coaching experience coaching a variety of college teams and working with collegiate athletes as well as school-based teams, and then worked into, obviously, the all-star industry side of things. After a successful run with being a college coach, I'm currently working with and part of the All-Star Cheer Consultants, where we go around and we work with All-Star gyms in making, you know, creating solutions for their success, whether it be routine reviews, you know, going in and doing choreography or sitting down and working with the gyms to make them more profitable and manageable so that they can obviously, you know, be a successful business. So we've been working with that now for the last 5 years. And over these years, of course, I've been judging since I started coaching. So I've been judging for now over 20 years. I've judged most major national competitions, and I've judged internationally as well, hitting Canada, England, South Africa, and South America.
That's awesome. I've wanted to do some international stuff, and I haven't had the opportunity quite yet. But definitely, if you have any, if you're in my podcast and you're listening internationally and you want me to come across, let me know.
Yes, and internationally is a great experience. The love of the sport is there, and the coaches and the athletes really want to soak up the knowledge and how they become stronger. And I really love seeing at Worlds this year, seeing so many South American teams do well in their divisions, as well as the growth of the teams from England that I've watched over the years, and I've judged really do well. And of course, the Canadian teams were really amazing this year, placing well in all the divisions.
Well, and that's the thing about the cheer industry. It truly is going international now. And, you know, 10 years ago, it was the U.S. Team USA show down there at Worlds. But nowadays, the international game is a lot stronger and is up there on the podium just as much as the USA teams.
And we can't take that for granted, as being an American team and American programs, that, you know, going against international teams is going to be an easy go. These teams have been working really hard. I said, like, 10 years ago when I went to England and my friends, you know, were asking me, I said, when these level 2 teams become level 5 teams, look out. Because you saw the drive, you saw the focus on attention and detail and the progressions that the coaches were putting into their program at those lower levels. And now we're seeing that work pay off for them. And we're now seeing that international flow and the success of the international programs. So I do have to say that for American coaches, don't underestimate any international program. You know, different countries are stronger in different areas until they become more balanced out. But we have to, like, really focus on your program and your strengths and what you need to be focusing on to make you a stronger program, because, you know, nationally or internationally, the competition is there.
Definitely. I've seen a great progression in the sport over the last 15 years as far as, like, routines go, composition goes, kids' talent goes. I'm pretty sure the talent of these children has been increased due to the fact of our coaching has increased, right. And we really have taken this sport and made it a true sport and followed in with the sciences and all the logistics behind all the training for all the coaches and all around the United States.
Right. I think that we're doing a great job. I like the direction that we've gone in the last few years with the scoring system, focusing on technique and execution. I feel like we got kind of caught up there for a little bit to throw as much skills out there as possible and hope that they stick, kind of thing. And then from a judging perspective, it made it really tough because you had some things hitting, some things not. And now I think that the way the system has gone with the scoring, that we're rewarding the, you know, proper progression, proper technique. And as a coach, it's very imperative that you do your team placements properly to make sure that you're going to be able to have a successful program and a successful team during the season. Because really, the success of the season comes from your team evaluations and team placements. You have to really make sure that you place the right athletes that can really maximize your score sheet and really provide you with the success at the time of evaluation. And that is probably the most important process, is that evaluation point. And then really working by level with the skills to even out the skills on your team to make sure that when the choreographer comes in, you have the necessary skills that can be placed in the right part of the routine.
So when you're looking, let's talk from a judge's perspective for a minute.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, because you know we're all coaches and everything, so I want to pretend like we're in the judge's eyes for just one second.
Yep.
And like, if you're watching a routine, what are some like key things for you personally? This is not every judge. Every judge is completely different, and
right.
I found that out over the years. But for you personally, as a judge, what's those things in like the openings of routines that really catch your attention and be like, okay, I'm going to have to watch this routine because it's going to be fabulous. I can already tell. Opposed to those things in the routine that are like, you watch it, you're like, oh, Lord, this is going to be need to be watched too because this is going to be crazy.
Well, here's the thing. Like, it doesn't – this is my perspective, and I will say from my perspective only from sitting up there over the years. It doesn't matter the wow factor that you think you're going to put out there with choreography. If those athletes are not confident in their presentation of any of the skills, that routine, no matter how good the choreographer was, how great the coaches, you know, put this whole thing together, if those athletes do not hit that floor with the confidence knowing that they can hit that routine and they believe in the routine and they believe in their team, it's just going to come off very flat and very boring.
You know, I could definitely agree with you on that. Yeah, because I've definitely seen, you know, it didn't really dawn on me that that's what it was until you brought that up. But the team that walked out there with that, I'm going to kill this routine, definitely puts the better performance on than the team that's in warm-ups going, God, I hope this stunt hits.
Right. And so, like, when you go out there, like you said, for the opening, if there's no trust and belief in the team and what they're doing out there, it shows in the first 15 seconds of that routine. If you're going out there being nervous and scared and you're looking around, from a judge's perspective, we sense fear. Like, we see the fear on their faces. I mean, and that goes into, like, I'm like, oh, great, they're not going to hit this one. They haven't done anything. Like, and it's like, not that I have that automatic, like, I'm going to score them lower, but when you're looking at this idea of, are they going to pull me into their routine and make me want to fall in love with the routine? It comes from those first 10 seconds on the floor, and can they really show me the confidence and excitement and enjoyment and performance factor that they're going to suck me in to that routine and I'm not going to want to blink an eye? And that comes from coaching confidence with your athletes.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about some of the changes that have happened this season that are good changes. I believe they're great changes. Going forward from here, I think different sections going to be able to increase the value as far as like what it brings to the routine. One of the changes I'm specifically talking about is the jump section not requiring you to have jump tumble. And
right.
I think over the years, you know, people have progressively stopped worrying about the jump portion to add the better, you know, the harder, difficult tumbling afterwards. And I think that kind of defeats the purpose of the jump section.
Right. You had athletes that were not completing their jumps. You were so rushing the jump to get the feet together, to get the standing skill afterwards. And I really, like, on the scoring system, what I really like seeing is the idea that, you know, they have to land on their feet to consider the level, you know, the skills have to land properly. So you're talking about the prep, the landing with the jump. And I love the idea of looking at the idea of the leg placement and, you know, the hyper flexibility. Let's get back to jumps being a true jump and not a skill that you pass through, like you said, to get the tumbling skill. And I think that's where if teams really focus on the jump technique portion, that's where you're going to pick up your technique scores. You know, you're going to pick up those extra tens of points on those jump techniques, and that can make a difference between placements.
Well, I'm excited about doing – yeah, I'm excited about doing some jump choreography this year just for the fact that you're going to be able to be so much more creative in that section.
Yeah.
is going to allow you to have just that little bit of extra flair in choreography and that little bit of extra movement that you wouldn't normally get to have because of you're trying to set up for the next part of that.
Right, and like, and from a choreographer or from a coach's perspective too, you can really emphasize those athletes with really great jumps that may not have the standing skills that were somehow pushed off to the side or maybe not included in the section because they didn't have the tumbling skills that went with them. Now you can really focus on those athletes that have great jump skills and highlight those athletes in that section of the routine, you know, and that will definitely add to your technique scores.
So I have a question about this too. You know, we're always told that you want to put your, you know, your best jumper, of course, center front, right? You always have to put that best jumper there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I started doing this way before it started getting told to do this, you know, but I always try to put a few good jumpers in the back too, because if I was judging, I wouldn't look at the front row of jumps because obviously we know those are going to be the best jumps. So
well,
I'm going to go check out the middle back row.
Yeah, I tend to look from the back. I look at the back because obviously when you're looking at the height of the jump, you're going to look straight across. And if you see those dangling legs making an X in the back, that's going to take away from your technique score. So I would definitely put your strongest jumpers in the center and work out to your left and right. So start from the center and move out. So the center being from the beginning to the end and, like, really make sure that all those jumpers that are in that center section, their height is very similar so that you're not going to have someone that's going to be with those dangling legs in the back row. So you want to make sure that your stronger jumpers are in the center and then you work out to the end.
Okay. So what about, let's see, we talked about it earlier about dance choreography. Right?
Right.
And it's a make or break for me. You know, you either hit dance section or you just quit.
Well, and the thing is that early in the season, you tend to see teams that are not, if they're not running the routine long, you know, hard enough and the hits don't have the endurance, you can get them up to that dance section and they look like they're going to puke. They look like they're going to fall over. And that completely ruins that section of the routine. So as a coach, you want to make sure that, you know, when you hit the floor, that your athletes can perform all sections of the routine and don't overlook the dance section. Just because they hit that pyramid, if they're looking dead tired, that's a whole section on the score sheet that they're not going to score well on. And you can't take dance for granted that they're just going to turn it on. Because if they're not having the endurance to go through the difficulty of that routine and they get to that dance section and they cannot execute it sharply, they cannot hit the intricate movements, they cannot hit those levels, you can't tell the differentiation of the formations and the transitions, that is all part of that dance score. It also can hit in other areas, you know, with the overall effect, you know, when you look at it. You know, when you have to look at the idea of the transitions and the dance of being very, those intricate little factors that weave throughout the routine that athletes have to hit the footwork, they have to hit the floor work, they have to hit the levels, they have to make the eye connection and the projection to the crowd. There has to be a purpose for the movement. And those are all things that when you're judging that section, you know, that overall judge is looking at, you're looking at the purpose of the movement. Why are they moving? Why are they getting from point A to point B? Are you just circling this? And there's times, like, I can sit there and say, this girl literally just circled around the mat for no apparent reason.
Well, and then sometimes I watch dances, you know, and I go, did they just, like, well, sometimes when I watch dances, I just think, did they just randomly start making motions? Like,
well,
I know that's technically what it is, but it's not. It's, like, it shouldn't be. It should have, like you said, it should have purpose and reason, and you can see the picture, not just like four people doing this, you know, just all the crazy chaos that I see in dances. Sometimes, like when you watch it, you're like, I can't even tell what's going on, but it's just
Exactly.
so
It's like chaos. Yeah.
much.
So you have to know what your athletes can actually execute and perform well. And that's where the coach and the choreographer need to have that conversation. And you have to understand, you know, the purpose of the dance is, you know, you want to do a dance that can score high. You can do an outrageous dance, but if it's not executed properly, you're not going to score well. Whereas if you have a dance that's a little less fluff and too much, and that you can clean that up and make it look really good, you can, and the athletes perform the heck out of it, you're going to score much higher. You know,
Well,
you only have a couple of counts in there to get those points.
I think it's more visually pleasing to my eye when a group of people dance the same dance.
Well,
In
that
certain
type
sections, you
of
know, if you
performance.
had a that for like a section and everybody's together, that's very pleasing in my eye. If you never actually make it to that point where everybody dances together just for a second, it's hard for me to get there.
Well, I think that it's important to know about the partner work and group work. There's a difference if you have everybody with partners and everyone's doing something different and it doesn't feed into the overall picture, then that's very difficult and very distracting. So that's where you have to look at the choreography and the flow elements of everything. So if a choreographer is doing too much partner work, that the partner work does not add into the overall effect. And that could be where, you know, partners are doing things on the outside different from the inside, but yet they still all come together. There has to be a blending point of when people come together and then break back out into doing
Yeah.
that's the fluff in the show. So there has to be, again, that purpose to the movement, the flow of the movement, and the visuals have to be there. Many times I'll see teams that you can tell the choreography is there, but it's not being executed properly, which means that the footwork, or you can't really tell what they're moving, you can't really tell the levels, you can't really tell the difference between the middle and the back. And I can see what the choreographer wanted, but it's not clean enough to really present that visual image. So yes, you're paying a lot of money for choreography, but you as a coach, that is your responsibility to break each one of those movements down to make sure that visual imagery is coming through. And a lot of
Yeah.
coaches don't take the time for the detail of the dance to really clean it up. And there's a lot of flying arms and flying body parts, and the visuals are just not there and executed properly.
Yeah, and I feel sometimes that will ruin a great routine, you know, that last little part that didn't get finished.
Well, and also too, you also mentioned about like coming out, you like doing the dance after the pyramid because it's almost like a victory dance. Also be cautious too with that because if kids are too excited and they don't know how to control and have a strong upper body control, sometimes that excitement, they need to like control that a little bit more because then they all of a sudden they look like they're just having spasms out there and they're just like jerking around because they're just so excited that they just hit everything in the routine. That's where you as a coach have to really condition your athletes to know that they have to take each section and execute each section. You just can't be so happy that you make the dance look like everybody just like jumped around on the stage. So, you know, again, you have to really coach your athletes per section and know what their responsibility and their jobs are to execute and perform. Not just be so happy they go out there and, like you said, do the victory dance, but it also comes looking very chaotic. So you
Yeah,
have to have that control.
that victory dance could turn into a save our life dance, you know, in the event that
Yeah.
pyramid doesn't hit, you know, it's like you better dance as
That
hard as
goes
you've
back
ever
to,
danced.
right. And that goes back to the coaching. Like, what happens if you put so much emphasis in hitting everything at the end of the routine if they don't? I've seen kids dancing and crying at the same time because they're so fearful of the fact that they just missed something. Well, if you condition your athletes and coach your athletes that if you, you know, make a mistake somewhere else, you better make up those points somewhere else. You just can't think about giving up. That each section has a value and a worth and a placement on that score sheet. And you're not done with that routine till you come off and see your routine after your performance. You know, everything from when you take the stage until you leave that stage is very important, and you have to take each section by section. And that comes back from coaching your athletes mentally and not berating your athletes so hard that if you make one little mistake, that's going to carry with them, and that mistake's going to build up and build up to the very end of the routine.
Yeah, I'm one of
So
those
it's really
coaches.
very important.
Yeah, I'm one of those coaches that, you know, mistakes happen. You know, I'm that coach that when we're on the floor, mistakes happen, guys. And we'll get past it next week. You know, we'll work on it next week. Because
right.
if you live in the moment that you ruin the routine for our whole team, you're going to ruin kids' lives. And if you don't think you are ruining kids' lives and you're that coach, you are. Because mentally you're breaking them and you're not building them up and you're not making them confident. You're destroying them internally.
Right.
You know, physically, you're not hurting them, but mentally, you are destroying that kid.
And you can see that from the way the kids perform on the mat. Like, that's something that goes back, like I said, with the first 10 seconds, that if kids are more fearful of messing up versus going out there and performing, that shows on the performance. So, essentially, you have the routines where the teams go out there, and you're literally checking off boxes on the score sheet. But there's no performance factor. There's nothing really pulling you in. They're not really hitting those choreographed moments strong enough to really tie the whole picture in. And really, if you're moving with purpose and your routine has a good flow, everything goes from the very beginning of that opening the whole way through to the very end with that dance, that there's purpose and flow for every athlete to get to that spot, and there's a reason why you're moving in that direction. So it's really important that, you know, you can see that choreography and you can see that flow of the routine, and that's why flow of the routine and routine composition a part of the scoring system. What happens is that when kids are not confident, you lose those visual images, but also too, they just get down to just executing skills versus performing a routine. And as a programmer, as a coach, are you more about the just checking off the boxes to get the points, saying, well, we did these skills. Well, that's great, you did the skills, but I can't see your technique, you know, that well, or I can't see the performance factor that well. And those are all parts of the scoring system. So not just hitting the skills on a score sheet. You want to execute the scores, execute the skills with precision so that everything can be seen about that technique, so you can get that higher technique score. And then that confidence comes through, and that will tie into the routine composition and your performance factor. So no part of the score sheet is independent of the other. They all tie in together. And a good coach
can
see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think... maybe there should be a coach's score on there too for appropriateness in the coach's box, because I'm one of those coaches. I'm cheering my kids on from beginning to end, no matter how many mistakes happen in the routine. For that 2.5 minutes, I'm going to cheer them on. I can't stand to watch the coach over in the corner, the coach's box, that's throwing their hands up and, you know, throwing a fit in the corner because the kids make a mistake on the floor, because those kids are watching that coach.
Right. Well, from a judge's perspective, unless, like, and again, event producers are really good about where they place their coaches. And yes, they're in the center, but if you're on a taller stage and it's an elevated stage, in all honesty, I don't see the coach. Now, mm-hmm. if you're jumping around that much that you become distraction, that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a coach, the all eyes of the judges should be on the kids and not you. And that goes back to why you're coaching. Is it about you and your ego and winning mm-hmm. versus performing, creating amazing athletes that go out there and sell, you know, and you're doing it for the kids. So you have to go back to the idea of why are you coaching? Is mm-hmm. it more about you winning and your ego versus the athletes, you know, gaining the experience and performing well? If you're the coach that really, like you said, tries to motivate the athletes to do their absolute best, then that's really great, and that's your head's in the right game. But if it's about you, it shows when you're in that coach's box.
You know, I had to come to that realization. I came to that realization probably when I was like 22 or 23. You know, I've been coaching since I was, you know, 16. But by the time
right.
I was 22 or 23, I came to the realization that this is not about me, you know. And, you know, it took that long. And I think a lot of male coaches go through that. And
mm-hmm.
if you can make it through that whole period where, you know, you can come to the realization like, oh, this is not about me, you become the
right.
coach that you should be. But
exactly.
some never come to that realization that it's not about me, because some are just, you know, that self-centered personalities that they think that the reason that program is there is for them, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing that comes back to, let's go back to team evaluation and coaching the team that you have versus the team that you want. Because of the fact that if you do a good job at placing similar type of athletes with similar skill sets on the right team, and you're not extending an athlete too far that it's of reach for them to be on that team, then you're putting the right athletes together that can execute that routine. Then you're also working with, you know, building up their skill level so they're confident in executing that routine. So that when they take the floor, there's none of this nervousness or worry that they're not going to be able to perform because they have the right skill set to perform at that level. So then it's about building up the athlete's performance and confidence. It should always be about the athlete and putting the best group of athletes together to perform the skills and the functions, and that's the routine that's going to score higher. Now, like you said, if it's about the coach and the coach is trying to get the numbers out there so they can be in the medium division versus the small, or they're trying to get a certain number of athletes out there because they want to do this pyramid, then you're not gaining the best, you're not benefiting the athletes at all. You're just trying to do what's best for you and so that you can get noticed. And that's not coaching athletes. That's putting your ego out there to show yourself as a better coach or who you are. And it should never be about you. If you put the athletes first, you will become noticed. People will notice you as a good coach. They will be able to see your choreography and see the skills that you're putting out there much better because the technique will be seen so much better. The execution will be sharper versus just trying to hope it sticks attitude and blame the kids when it doesn't.
Well, I'm one of those believers. I'm one of those believers that what you do off the mat is actually coaching, not, you know, we're coaching on the mat. Of course, that's our job. But the true coaching comes through the mentoring and through the skill, life skills building and the teaching the morals, teaching integrity, teaching the values, you know, those type of things is what truly makes a coach to me. Because if you're coming in, you're just teaching, you know, just teaching cheer and you're only there for 2 hours and you're in and out, that's a job for you. It's not a career and that's cool. Everybody went through that period. The moment that you become a career coach and you are extending that arm to, you know, your athletes to help them through their, you know, youth and their childhood that you've experienced and you've been through. I mean, we've all gone through the same problems that some of these kids are going through. And to be able to be that, you know, person that you can relate to them probably better than the parents sometimes, because they at least will listen to you better than their parents sometimes. And if you take notice in their life enough that when problems do arise and you can approach them as their mentor and their coach, you can handle, like, help these kids go through some stuff.
Right. Well, and that's the important thing, and that does actually show on the mat. So if you are that person in those your athlete's life, so when you go to do the routine section, like one thing as a you know, working from the choreographer side as well as with the judging side, it's very important that you get the routine that reflects the strengths of the athletes and reflects their personality. And that comes from having a conversation with the choreographer and understanding, you know, just don't hire the choreographer because they give an XYZ type of routine. You want to make sure that routine hits the strengths and the personality of your athletes. And if you're that coach that understands your athletes and knows who they are and understands what's going to make them shine the most, then that's a conversation you have with the choreographer. And maybe you don't want to end your routine with a dance. Maybe you want to end it with that wowing pyramid. Or maybe you want us to have an opening that reflects, you know, a certain theme that kind of ties them together. Those are all really important discussions to have with the choreographer at the time and making sure that the team's personality comes through and making sure that the choreographer you hire isn't all about their ego and more about making your program shine. And that, too, like we said with coaches, you also have to see that with choreographers, that their choreographers will come in and just give the routine and lay it out and here you go, versus a choreographer that really gets to know you as a program, gets to know your athletes, and communicates with the coaches and the staff to make sure that this is the routine, the flow that they feel comfortable with, you know.
Yeah,
and that
just giving the added value.
Yes, because that added value, if it's seen as a partnership with the coaches, athletes, and the choreographer, those are the routines that do better because then there's buy-in from the kids. You don't have the kids going home saying, well, I don't understand why I'm not this person this year. Well, if you have a choreographer that embraces the culture of the gym and works with the coaches and the athletes, those things are taken care of during that time of choreography and worked out so that everyone has a buy-in to why they're doing what they're doing. So when the choreographer leaves, there should be no drama because everyone has buy-in to the purpose of the routine and the purposeful movements. You may not be where you want to be in this one section of the jump, but that's because you have to be in this spot to be that person in this next section. So there's buy-in to why you're, you know, where everybody's at. Mm-hmm. And that's the conversation that the choreographer and the coaches have with the athletes. And so that whole process has to work together. And that's where you get the idea, the buy-in with the routine and the performance factor of the routine, so they understand why they're placed in that role and they want to execute it strongly. So, you know, you really have to look at choreographers who don't have the ego and it's all about them. You have to look at the coaches that want to coach the athletes that they do have and make them stronger and better and emphasize their skills and making sure the routine fits the, you know, the skill set of the athletes and their personality and where their strengths are. And then go from there. Like for me, with my college team, we didn't necessarily have the strongest tumblers. Man, we got that tumbling section taken care of in the beginning. That was like tumbling was done in the beginning. We had strong stunting. We pyramid the heck out of that routine, you know, but I knew my athletes that their biggest thing that they were worried about was making sure they hit their tumbling section. So we got that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got that skill set out of the way when they were fresh, and I knew my athletes and I knew where, and I, you know, I had to put certain skills in certain sections earlier in the routine because it fit my athletes.
Well, we've been sticking to, you know, we've been having the same group of people for a while with our coaching staff. And so we've kind of patterned a routine model that we teach every season, the same pattern. And we're trying to see if we eventually condition our kids to that pattern,
right,
that their bodies know pyramid section, they know tumbling section, they know where that is, right, in that routine, right? And
right.
Because from minis or tinies, they've been running that order of routine.
Right.
And we're kind of doing it as a branding thing. This is going to be our brand.
Right.
This is going to be our, our model. Because, you know, over the years I have had, you know, parts of routines that were, borrowed. And you could definitely tell. And you're like, oh, how interesting. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we know that this is our style, and we're training this style, and we have been for like 5 years now. And guess what?
Right.
It's working, because now the kids that were tinies and minis are now youths and juniors. You know, they've been in the program that long. Their routines are just flawlessly, like, smooth as far as like the energy level in them, because they know that we do opening, then we go to quantity stunt, and then we immediately go to jump section, then we go to elite tumble, and then we go to tumbling, and then we go to pyramid, then we go to dance. And we change all the material, of course, but we stick with those sections in that order for the conditioning factor.
Right, and that's a good attitude to have, and that's, if that's your gym brand, and that's good. But also to look at, too, in the choreography, because when you get into, like, say, level two, where things can all start looking the same because you only have so many elite elements. You only have, you know, so many things that you can do. Level two routines sometimes start looking very similar because, like, people lay out, the layout of the routines look very similar.
Yes.
And the skills start looking very similar. And it's, so you also want to make sure that there's an added bonus. And I definitely have to say, like, with level two, you want to make sure there's something that's going to make you stand out. Because the fact that the skill sets are all, like, everybody's doing all the same skill sets. Everyone's doing all the elites. And if you're starting to do all the routines starting to look in the same layout and the same factors, what's going to make you stand out from all the other teams? And level two is a big division. Like, regardless of, you know, what, you know, if it's, you know, youth, junior, whatever, it's always going to be a big chunk of, like, our all-star industry. So you have to also look at, too, like, you know, What's gonna be your wow factor for that routine?
Uh-huh.
And you want to make sure that you have the proper wow factor. And that, again, the wow factor is not going to be a selling point unless your athletes are confident in what the wow factor is.
Would you agree
that the personality?
Yeah. Would you agree that some of the wow factor in the choreography comes from an outside the box thinking?
Yes.
You know, that's where I like to find my wow factor is like, you know, I like to use other forms of art and bring it into the cheer world and try to incorporate it into the cheer world, I guess.
Right.
And that's where I try to do my wow factor.
Yeah, you can, yeah, you want to try to find the wow factor that fits, like you said, your brand, your personalities, what you want to represent you, but there should be a wow factor that's like, oh yeah, that's the team that did, you know, this. And like, you want something that's going to stand out. So when you're getting into, you know, in the beginning of the season, you may not need as much of a wow factor, but when you start hitting some of those bigger nationals, you better have a wow factor. You better have something that's going to set you apart from the other teams. And it can be being super clean and crisp and sharp with your technique, but there still has to be that energy and excitement that goes along with it too.
But so all of us,
that's going to draw the judges in.
Yeah. If all of us think about certain teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I think of Top Gun, I think mm-hmm. of innovative, because mm-hmm. over the years, they were the first ones to tumble into a pyramid and back out of, you know, they were first
yeah.
on lots of different things. And
but if you think about it, those innovations came from the abilities of the athletes and the coaches knowing their athletes and being creative with the skills of the athletes
mm-hmm.
are. They didn't watch YouTube videos and copy someone else. To be innovative, you have to be, I think, outside the box yourself. So if you're that coach that really knows your athletes, and you're not that creative, but you want to work with your choreographer too and be like, hey, I have this girl that has this crazy little trick, and they play around with it a little bit and put it into the choreography, that's where you have to start really utilizing what you have on the team. If you're trying to force someone to do something that's not natural but innovative, they're not going to sell it well.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be that buy-in. And there has to be the athlete believing that this is what, you know, and that's where you come with the stronger personalities that want to do the crazier stuff. But you, again, have to know your athletes to make sure that they're going to be able to perform it well. Because if you have to explain to me an AccuScore, whether you're truck, then guess what? That little wow factor didn't work. You know, so you have to really make sure that it's quite obvious on some wow factor that draws people's attention. And you want to make sure that they're saying, ooh, and not ooh.
Yeah. Before we get off here, can you give us one like piece of something to maybe new coaches or new owners that are trying to learn choreography and trying to make a run for it? What's your best piece of advice for them?
Best piece of advice is to work on making sure that your execution and your technique is flawless. Make sure that I can see every transitional element. I am like very far from you and up high. I need to make sure that your execution is exact and on count and that it's visible for me to see from a distance. I want to make sure that your athletes are, their lines, their body lines, bases, their body lines, the flyers, their body lines, and any skill is obvious. If we have a break in a body line, correct it. So that goes back in with execution, technique, performance. Performance factor, if you are executing strongly, then that confidence should shine and have your, not just your flyers, but also your bases. Every athlete should be able to make eye contact with the crowd. You want to pull the crowd into your routine. You don't want to feed off of the routine, off the crowd. You want to pull the crowd into your routine. That means that the athletes have to have that energy and excitement to pull the crowd in. Don't just try to worry about your athletes feeding off of the crowd.
So one last question for you from me. This is a question for me here. Does the crowd influence your scoring? Be honest.
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that if they're just clapping and making noise, they're annoying. But if the athletes are part of the whole experience, if the athletes are, that you see the energy and excitement coming onto the floor, then yes, it does make a difference. If you're just stomping and making noise and it's annoying to clap at me and I'm there for like over 10 hours a day and I'm getting headaches and making noise.
Screaming.
No, it's just not. Exactly. Let's be real. Like if I don't want to hear noise, I want to see a performance. So,
I'm sure you get in your car on the days and go home and just nothing, no sound in your car, just driving straight home, just no noise.
Yeah, I mean, there's just times that you just go back to the hotel room and I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to, like, I just need quiet. I need Zen moment. But if it's just a matter of making noise to make noise, then it's annoying. But if the athletes can, if the athletes are generating it, like I think what's really great is when you see teams take the floor, and it doesn't matter the name on the uniform. If the kids go out there, and all of a sudden they catch the attention of the crowd, and more people start making noise with them by the time they get to the dance section, that's a great moment. If you see the energy of the kids, and they're really feeding off of the energy of the crowd, and it shows in their performance, and they're making that eye contact, and you see the sparkle in their faces and their body movements, then yes, that's when the crowd makes a difference. But I've also seen teams go out there with no one, the first team up there, go out there and still hit a flawless, energetic routine because they're just conditioned to perform.
Yeah, I always hated performing like first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
It's always tough. Well,
it's
I appreciate you. Yeah, I appreciate you being on with me today, Melissa.
Yeah, and if anyone, I'm always open. Like, I know people send us emails all the time. And, you know, we do our routine. That's part of the reason why we do the routine reviews that we do with our company is that we give that feedback before people hit the floor. So that way we can say, you know, when we talk about this idea of body lines and technique as well as projection. And I think that's really great when we can get that feedback to coaches, and especially young coaches that are taking their teams out there and they're not sure what to expect. Those are things that, those are great feedback opportunities for coaches and programs to realize an athlete. So you can tell your athlete, like, you have to really make that eye contact. You have to really watch your body lines. You have to really look at the overall performance when the, you know, performance levels drop. Those are great things to find out before you take your athletes on the floor. And parents are paying a lot of money at these competitions to see their athletes as well as, you know, go to these, go to these competitions. But you want to make sure that that's the best product that represents your program and your athletes. So always take in those extra tools that can help you put the best product out on that mat.
All right. Well, I will want to tell you, I wanted to ask you, how would people reach you if they wanted to talk to you about routine stuff?
Well, we have our website, theallstarcheerconsultants.com, or they can email me at theallstarcheerconsultants@gmail.com, or just call me. My phone number is 954-299-0347. You know, a lot of times we get text messages about, like, hey, can you take a look at this, or I have a question. You know, we do that via text as well as if you email us. So please, you know, feel free to always get in touch with myself. And the rest of my partners at All Star Cheer Consultants.
All right. Well, thank you for being on, and I will definitely get back in touch with you. I want you to have you on again for something else.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
I would like to thank everyone for listening and sharing our podcast, and I'd like to thank our sponsors, Glory and Power Equipment. For all your cheerleading and gymnastic equipment needs, check out their website, www.gloryandpower.com.